Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi yogina karma kuravanti sangam jagtvatma shuddhaye.
Translation. Everything a materialistic person does entangles him in the material world. Every activity a materialistic person does produces a karmic reaction. Due to that karma, due to the accumulated karmic reactions, he has to take birth again and again. But everything a devotee does is purified, because everything a devotee does is in relation with Krishna. Krishna is all pure. By chanting the name of Krishna, one is purified. By remembering Krishna, one is purified. By acting for the pleasure of Krishna, one is purified. So many yogis, they resort to very difficult activities to try to become purified. They perform very severe austerities so that they can become free from material desires and attachments. But devotees of Krishna do not undergo severe austerities, generally speaking. Because simply by acting for the pleasure of Krishna, one is automatically purified. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Patrang pushpang phalang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami payatamaha. So there's nothing physically difficult in the act of offering a fruit, flower, leaf or water to Krishna. We might think, well, for purification it is better to do some severe austerity, such as hanging upside down and... However, this is a mechanical process to attempt to control the senses, whereas Krishna consciousness is a natural process. When a devotee offers fruit, flower, leaf and water to Krishna, the devotee feels very pleased. He feels pleased because he knows that Krishna is pleased. If Krishna is pleased, the devotee is pleased. If the devotee is pleased, Krishna is pleased. So a devotee is pleased if Krishna is pleased, and Krishna is pleased if the devotee is pleased. And both the devotee and Krishna are trying to satisfy each other. So bhakti is a very pleasing and purifying process. Whereas in the difficult yoga process, one has to try to avoid feeling happy. Today at midday, I was offered some varieties of prasadam. There was dosai, and Kerala, and green vegetables, shark, some sabji and chutney, dal and soup, and some sweets. It was very nice. But if it wasn't Krishna prasadam, I wouldn't have wanted to take it, however nice it was. Devotees take pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. The yogis can't eat things like that. Oh, it's too nice. My senses will be disturbed. They would rather eat some dry, stale food. They think that is better for controlling my senses. But by eating very nice foods which are offered to Krishna, the devotees, they become far more purified than the yogis do by eating all nasty, stale food which is not offered to Krishna. So consciousness is an automatically, naturally purifying process. If we just take the vow, I will only take Krishna prasad, automatically our senses are controlled. If we walk through the streets of Avadhi or wherever we are, and we'll see Coca-Cola for sale, ice cream for sale, sweet shops, so many different things. So we might be constantly slavering as we walk through the streets. Slavering means the saliva is coming. But for one who has made a vow to only take Krishna prasad, he doesn't even notice that. He doesn't even think that, well, I could go in and enjoy myself, because he knows that, well, I only take Krishna prasad. Because of that vow, it may be that one sometimes faces some difficulty, especially if one is traveling. One may not get proper food, or sometimes not even any food. But the devotee simply thinks, I must satisfy Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by that. Idea is how to please Krishna. Because Krishna is supremely pure, then the devotee becomes purified by doing everything in relationship with Krishna. So actually devotees should become purified. Devotees are purified just naturally by performing bhakti yoga, they automatically are purified. At the same time, if we have some particular attachments or not very good personality traits, then we should be aware of that and try to overcome that so we can serve Krishna better. One devotee I know, he's a very active devotee and does a lot of service, but he has he often gets angry. So anger is not necessarily a bad thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes anger as one of the three gates to hell. On the other hand, in the same Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is inciting Arjuna to fight, to be angry. So, one kind of anger is purifying, or it's a symptom of pure consciousness. If someone is blaspheming Krishna and we think, oh, I shouldn't get angry, that's Maya. One should get angry if someone is blaspheming Krishna. Otherwise, where is the love for Krishna? If you can listen to Krishna being blasphemed. But anger for one's own sense gratification, that is not purifying. That is a symptom of contamination, and it causes more contamination. Because one's sense gratification has not been fulfilled, therefore one feels angry. This is the kind of anger that takes one to hell. Anyway, I was talking about this devotee, who's a very active devotee, but he has the tendency to very quickly become angry. He's been practicing Krishna consciousness for many years. What can I do? You see, I'm from a Scottish-Irish background. That means his parents are from Scottish and Irish families, and these are people who are known to be hot-blooded by nature. At least they have the reputation, the stereotype. So I thought about that statement and I thought, well, in one sense it's true, that we come to Krishna consciousness with a whole package of our previous contaminations. And it may seem difficult to throw off certain contaminations. Another devotee who'd been practicing Krishna consciousness many years was telling me about some baseball results in America. I said, I don't know anything about baseball and I'm not interested. You know, just like in India, people are mad over cricket. So in America, they're mad over baseball. So he said, well, what can I do? It just doesn't go away. I have this attachment to baseball. But actually, we should try to overcome these attachments and contaminations. In the beginning of our practice of Krishna consciousness, it's not surprising if there are many different contaminations. But we should, if we are actually sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, we should experience that we're becoming free from the various contamination. It's not that we should be, after practicing Krishna consciousness for 10 years or 20 years, and we're still more or less in the same level of consciousness as when we started. That can happen. In this regard, there is an anecdote told by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. In Bengal, well, in East Bengal even now, many people, if they go on a long journey, they go by boat. It's the most convenient way to go. So one group was going from one place to another for a marriage ceremony. So they hired a boatman to take them. And it was summertime, so they wanted to go at night, and they would travel when it's cool at night. So the idea was they would get into the boat just after the sun had set, and they should reach the destination next morning around sunrise, just around the time the sun was setting. And the sun set and they all went to sleep, and the boatman was rowing and rowing and working hard all night. And the party woke up just before sunrise. They asked the boatman, how are we progressing? He said, well, we should reach soon, I've been rowing all night. But when the sun rose, they found they were still in the same place. The boatman said, oh, what happened? I was rowing all night. And he saw that he'd forgotten to untie the boat. So he's still attached to the same place. So in the same way, unless we remember to get free from our material attachments, to sever our bondage from material attachments, we can perform the activities of bhakti, and maybe a lot of hard work, but we don't really go anywhere. Bhakti is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhakti parishano bhavo viraktiranyatra.
It means that bhakti means to experience, have an experience of the Supreme Lord, and to be detached from everything else. So we can't really have both. That's why Rupa Goswami has given a warning. He tells everyone, don't go to Vrindavan. Who's been to Vrindavan? Well, Rupa Goswami warns us, don't go to Vrindavan. Especially don't go to Keshi Ghat, because you might see a very beautiful boy standing there, threefold bending form, Tribhanga Sundar. And he plays his flute very beautifully. If you see that boy and hear his flute, your whole material life will be finished. All your attachment to your family, your friends, your money, your home, will all be spoiled. So he's saying, be careful, don't go there, it's very dangerous. He had his own experience, Rupa Goswami. He went to Vrindavan and lived as a mendic. Of course, in a back-to-front way, he's telling us, go to Vrindavan! Become captivated by Krishna. Yeah, and then in this way we can give up all our mundane desires. As long as we remain captivated by mundane desires, how will we love Krishna? Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madadi, abhishta, eshav, nachare, kishe, pabe, rakha, Krishna. But you know, Thakur says, as long as we have these contaminations, as long as we're absorbed in lust, greed, anger, and so on, how are we going to attain Radha and Krishna? So the activities of bhakti are always purified. We just came from performing Harikirtan in the streets, and now we propose to offer Deepam to Damodar. There's only, what, 2 more days left for this, is it? Just 2 more days. So these activities, performing Harikirtan, offering Deepam to Damodar, these are all very purified. But we have to have a specific intention to become purified. Why, in the Vaishnav Homa, when offering into the fire, we say, Idam Narayanaya Namama. This is for Narayana, not for me. Sometimes we preach to people that, well, you have too much stress. Try chanting Hare Krishna. But chanting Hare Krishna is not really just some kind of stress relief activity. We can say practically anything to induce people to chant Hare Krishna. But if we are to advance in bhakti, we have to have the clear understanding that I am meant for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is not some kind of free medicine. At some point early on in our lives of bhakti, we have to understand that all our stress and all our distress is because of our foolishness in not surrendering to Krishna. So everything we do should be for the purpose of purification. We can chant 16 rounds, and as a formality we can chant, or we can chant it with the sincere desire to please Krishna. You know, sometimes people come and we put up beads into their hands and say, chant Hare Krishna. We say, how many rounds you chant? 2 rounds. Okay, chant more. How many rounds you chant now? 8 rounds. Okay, chant more. How many rounds you chanting now? 16. Okay, then stop drinking tea and we'll get you initiated. Okay, I got initiated. Jai, Hari Bol. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I do it every day, 16 rounds. I'm initiated. And I don't drink tea. Not usually, anyway. That won't be very purified. We have to, of course, this is an exaggeration, I don't think anyone's that bad. But actually chanting Hare Krishna is not done by the lips and tongue. You may think, well, that's very strange. Do we have to try and make some sound in our throat? Chant Hare Krishna unless you move your lips and tongue. It's pretty difficult. But actually it comes from the heart. Srila Prabhupada compared chanting to the cry of the child for the mother. So real chanting doesn't mean it means
calling out to Krishna, please help me, Krishna. Ai nanda tanuja kinkarang patitang maam vishame bhavam buddhau kripaya kalapada pangkata stita dhuli satrisham vichinte. This is the prayer of the devotee. As long as we're praying to Krishna for purification, Krishna will help us. As soon as we think, now I'm pure, we're immediately impure. So let us now perform the offering of prayers to Damodar and the Deepam, and we can read the translation of the Damodarashtakam before we begin. And while we're singing, we can really enter into the mood of that. Pray to Satyavrata Muni that he bless us with his own pure desire to relish the beautiful form of the Supreme Controller who is tied up by the ropes of love by Mother Yashoda. This will be purifying and pleasing, and purifying means that we should become purified. Not that after 20 or 30 years of practicing devotional service, we're still on the neophyte platform. Let us pray to Lord Damodar and Satyavrata Muni and all the great devotees, Srila Prabhupada, that they bless us with pure devotional service. We can become free from all material contamination and really try to do something to serve the mission of the Acharyas. Everyone is suffering in this material world because of forgetfulness of Krishna. Let us all try to assist the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is the mission of all the Acharyas, to spread Krishna consciousness. This center is coming up nicely. The building and everything is now more or less in order, at least this part of it. So it is a place that devotees, by their sincere endeavor, they have established this place so that devotees can come and join together in activities of Krishna consciousness. But of course, the building is not all in all and everything. It's not our aim simply to build buildings. But we want to see more and more people taking to this Kevala Ananda Kanda, this transcendentally blissful process of Krishna. We want to see everyone sharing the bliss of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. The desire of the devotee is there is not a single jiva in the universe who should not be blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Of course, we can't. We're small beings and we can't reach out personally to every jiva in the universe. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is Jare Deko Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guru Hoyataro Edesh. So at least Edesh in your local area, in this Abadi area, see what you can all do cooperatively to spread this Krishna consciousness more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Especially the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is enhanced during the month of December, so try to take part in that and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any question, please? Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for receiving me so nicely, and Srila Prabhupada bless you all. Pure devotion at the lotus feet of Sri Gaura Hari.